of you. I have lived here before, the days are bright. And of course, this is why I'm so concerned. And I come back to find the stars in place. And the smell of a world that has burned. A smell of the world that has burned. Maybe it's just a change.
And welcome to another WRFR Weekend Roundtable. I'm your host, Ron Huber. It is wintertime, January the 10th. Yeah, January 10th, coming to you live from Rockland, just next to Penobscot Bay, which is actually one of the more important bays in North America. Thank you. We're here to talk about things that go on inside the wacky world of corrections, as well as whatever you want to talk about when you call in, which, if it isn't about the wacky world of corrections, I'm sure that the expertise here will still be able to deal with you. So, we're going to do our usual things and take a look at the weather and maybe the Portland Fish Exchange, because if you don't know how the fish are doing outside your harbor, then what good are you? But then we'll look at correctional things from the Pathos Department. Earth First Journal always has some stories about imprisoned people that you want to help take care of. Prisoners in the struggle, support them. And a list of the small number, the total number of political prisoners and prison support groups worldwide. You can worry about people just about every continent. Just you'll have to wait till a little bit later then, and we will give you those sorts of things. Now, Terry Miller is with me today here. She's, like many people you've been hearing, we're all eager to learn about the new mixing board that's here, one of the mysterious instruments that separates people that talk about radio from people that actually exercise it, the board. We're not talking about no trustees or nothing. So, you know, if you'd like to learn how to be a radio host or just look like one, we'll take a picture of you, like, pushing things on the mixing board and looking serious. Well, then you can always drop in here, 20 Gay Street, come around back to the studio during my show, and of course that'd be Saturdays from 1 to 2, or Thursdays from 1 to 3. I'm always glad to help people investigate the mysteries of that. Well, as he said, though, this is a thing that's more about corrections, and you know, I was very curious. The latest edition of the Earth First Journal, on its front page, you think, all right, there's going to be climate change, or you know, tree huggery or something. Coal protesters, well, that's one of them. But the other top story is Greek prisoner hunger strike ends. Oh, this is, remember, this is an environmental journal. So let's see here what they have to say. Political prisoner or not, inmates are widely known to be some of the most horribly treated and forgotten people, abused as though they're not human. In a nationwide act of solidarity, more than 7,000 prisoners throughout the nation of Greece went on a hunger strike back in November to finally fight back for their own rights. Now get this, a dedicated 19 prisoners went so far as to sew their own mouths shut. Now there's a plan. And it worked. The move to boycott food ended after 18 days when the inmates won their protest, as the Minister of Justice conceded to their series of requests. Now this is notable for prisoners all over the world. There's hope that more inmates will take cue and demand humane treatment for themselves. It's important that those of us in radical active movements who aren't in prison, which I hope is all, the vast majority of us, do what we can to assist in this cause. As you know, that's one of the purposes of this show. We have a constant dialogue with an inmate correspondent who's presently in Western Maryland. Ski country, and I imagine they got some snow, so I imagine he looks out and sees pretty good powder out there time to time. We're keeping up our correspondence with he and others, and indeed find that if they are able to engage in collective action, not gangs, and gangs are collective action, sure, but we're talking about collective action for the good of all, not just some chunk of the prison population, well then, good things can happen. That helped reduce the number of uses of the torture chairs in Main State Prison. or at least allegedly has, if you're a either a torture chair provider or someone who has been provided on with a torture chair, we'd like to hear from you. And you can either call live and just mask your voice at 207-593-0013, be on the air, or give us a call at the station office line 594-0721 in area code 207, and we'll see what we can get. Well, stand by a moment. I think we've got a caller. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm listening to your show in regards to prison.
Yes, sir.
And I'm listening to your talk about committees and about governments and what they do. But let me tell you, you can read all the Shawshank Redemption. You can read Escape from Alcatraz. You can watch all the movies. But until you're there, you don't have a clue. Prison is 18 hours of total unbelievable paranoia because you never know what's going to happen. I don't care if you're a political prisoner. I don't care if you're there for drunk driving. I don't care if you're there for assaulting your mother-in-law or insulting your mother-in-law, I should say. But nonetheless, you folks who listen to this stuff do not have a clue. I've been there. I've done that. I still have the striped shirt.
Now, as you may know, one of our correspondents, both by mail and by telephone, when he was able to do that, was Dean Brown, an inmate at Maine State Prison for many years. He since was shoved out of there for reporting on the horrendous conditions down in the hole, where he was 6 months at a time visiting that. And what he says is just what you're describing. The 18 hours a day, it's just... watch it.
That's right.
And then you sleep.
The first prison I was in was 103 black men. I'm not saying I have a prejudice against black men because
right.
I don't. 103 black men. We had 103 people on the tier.
Mm-hmm.
Was 98 black men, 3 Chicanos, and 2 whites. And the two, me and the other white guy, walked around as Siamese twins as though we were joined at the butt. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not mad at you, don't misunderstand. I just talk loud, okay?
No, that's fine. I'm just amazed by what you're saying because...
Because I'm just going to tell you straight up. So you've been there on a day-to-day basis, and I was there for 10 months and 28 days, and that is no time. It's nothing. I was there with people who were there all day long. That's a prison term, meaning you're there for life. I had a bullet, which means I was there for a year because of good behavior and work. I got out with only 10 months and 28 days doing my time.
Huh.
Now, I don't care. I don't care what kind of committees. Again, I emphasize this. I don't care what kind of committees. I don't care what kind of government organization. I was involved with Amnesty International.
Mm-hmm.
I had people trying to get me out. I had people trying to take care of me. But during all that time while that's going on, you had to watch everything you do or say. You to this day do not want to be in a room with me if the lights go out. Okay?
And
two, never want to speak up for me. It's called just like Vietnam. It's a flashback, man.
And you're saying this was only a year or less.
A year or less in a county facility, not a federal day camp. Thank you very much. I didn't have to worry about signing up on a racquetball course because we didn't have one. I was in a 1933 WPA prison that was all manually controlled. No automatic locked doors. The guards had to come around and lock you up every night. Imagine our surprise when one night they forgot. You went and kicked that cell door and it opened.
Oh, my God. Well,
at 2 o'clock in the morning and you realize that the 9 doors that are separating you from the outside are all unlocked. And the thought that goes through your head, and I sneak by the guard room without being detected before I hit that front door and start running for the main gate.
Oh, my God.
Just to say, with the idea of getting an extra year on top of that, I did not consider that a consideration.
Right. Well, you were talking about getting out with good behavior. I don't think that would impress them too hard.
That's exactly right. They forget all that good behavior stuff. You immediately annihilated the fact that you were a good boy for 6 weeks or whatever it was. They're going to go back to go. Well, now you got your year to serve, and we're going to give you another year just because you opened your cell door and took 1 foot outside. So that's what it's like.
And that's what happened?
It's not to me. I'm not foolish enough to take one door outside. I'm not going to stay there another year.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Well, you know, so now we have in Maine, the government just put together another commission.
Oh, I don't hear about commissions. Right. What, the government is going to take money away from poor people and old people and children and convicts to balance a $328 billion, million dollars. We're not in the big time yet.
Well, yeah. How did you guess? Yeah, you got it. You know that he's cutting the, they had inmate advocates in the Maine State Prison. And so they decided, well, inmates themselves, there's plenty of shade tree lawyers in there. They can be their own damn advocates.
Yeah, they talk about rehabilitation.
I could not believe that.
Yeah, they talk about rehabilitation. Oh, there is no rehabilitation in prison. I'll tell you how rehabilitated I was, okay? A lot of people recognize my voice because my voice is pretty definite. But I don't care. I talk about this anyway because I'd rather, as my mother said, I'd rather hear it from me than hear it from somebody else.
All right, go
for it. I took courses in prison, high school writing courses, English courses that I'd taken 100 times in school. Because why? They gave out fresh fruit if you got the answer. Because if not, I'm looking at a dinner of bologna and cheese and a cup of hot chocolate. That was the primo, top of the list. That would be the main entree of the Samoset. You know where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
In the morning, I got to look forward to coffee that I heated up in a plastic jug and run it under hot water. That I saved from the day before. I was a trustee, so I got a lot of what was left over.
Oh, okay, you did. Well, but you know, you got it, though, at least.
I got it, and I kept it.
That's the thing, you know. So, you know, you're happy for smaller favors when you're inside.
You learn to communicate. I mean, you're in there with fellow people. Mm-hmm. It's not prison. You got to understand, it's not the time. You can sit in your house, which prisoners call their cell.
Yeah.
You can sit in your house and read War and Peace in the original Russian. That is not the problem. The problem is the people that you are put in there with. You see, I never went to the yard because, again, I don't want to be a racist, but because I was white and the time I was in there, a lot of things were happening with Black Panthers and so forth. I was in California.
Mm-hmm. In California, okay.
And there was a lot of things happening with Black Panthers, and they weren't real happy with us. So we didn't bother to go to the yard because you wind up in the wrong section of the yard. You're going to wind up in the hospital. That's how that works. And the only scrape I had in regards to being there was I had got a carton of cigarettes and put them in my house. The guy who lived directly across from my cell came to me and said, I want a cigarette. And I said, man, all I got is Boogie, which is rolling up Bull Durham. Give me two sacks of a week. I said, here. He said, no, you got TaylorMade's, which is a real cigarette.
Right. Oh, yeah.
He said, I want a TaylorMade. I said, I don't have any TaylorMade's in my house. I said, all my TaylorMade's are in my house. I don't bring them out on the tier. He said, I'm going to screw you up. I looked up. This is not a racist statement.
Right.
But all I saw was Afros and Afros.
In all directions.
And a guy jumped in named Junebug and said, wait a minute. Whoa, guy. This guy can write. He's a writer. He can write letters. He can write all kinds of things for us. And from that point on, they leave me alone.
And so you have been able to do that then?
I was able to do that, and then I got myself transferred down to the hospital. I was in for dealing various sundry substances. So where do they put a guy who deals drugs? They put him in the hospital.
Well, you know.
What's in the hospital?
You know the drugs.
Oh.
Right. Well, you know them, so you're not going to be mistaken about them.
That's right. They're not snitches. We had guys that would come down in the morning and get their diabetic shots, and we would save the syringes and sell them to the guys upstairs for $10 a pop on the commissary books. But when the commissary came around, this is the people who brought the cigarettes, and you could actually get whole milk, and you could get a package of those Sara Lee cinnamon buns. Believe me, that was a gourmet treat. And candy bars.
Oh, yeah.
When they came, because cigarettes and candy bars is money in prison.
Let me ask you, I was about to ask you about money, because, you know, this
our guy
over there,
anymore.
Right, now we just send him money, and it goes into an account.
Right.
You know, so like $100, you know, every couple of months to, well, keeps things going on. One thing, it lets him file grievances.
Right.
You know, you can afford the paper. You know, you can afford a ticket stamp. You know, and all that. And so so he's been doing that. He actually sent us a check the other week because he won a grievance thing about them refusing to clean his arm before they'd shoot insulin into him.
Yeah.
And so the judge found for him, gave him like $1,200 or something, some amount there, and so he's been reimbursing us, which I thought was just impressive as hell.
Yeah, it's impressive, but how long did it take him before he got it?
Oh,
it wasn't overnight.
No, it was about a year.
Yeah, that's what I thought, about a year and a half
well,
before he even opened the letter.
He's doing 59, so he's a long-timer, so he's, you know.
I say, man, you know, I'm giving my nickel's worth, which used to be 2 cents, but with inflation and everything.
Yeah, right.
But it's a little inside insight. As far as what you read, as far as the, and don't misunderstand me, please, I appreciate everybody in the world who's trying to do anything for anybody who's behind bars, because it is living absolute hell. And I was only there for 10 months. As I said, I met people who were there all day, which means they were there for life. When you're in prison for life, your whole attitude towards everything changes.
Oh, yeah.
No, because you're not going anywhere, and you got nothing to lose. So you have to join some kind of political organization, which is a politically correct word for a gang.
Well, right. Well, that's what Dino's been having to deal with there, you know.
Yeah.
There's the gangs, and I guess, there's survival. And I think, he ordered different sports magazines.
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to be sharing them with the people. He's probably,
you got to share them.
You know. And this way, it's cool. It's,
it keeps you in the loop.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is, that's fine, because you're in the loop and everything is cool, but you never know with the guy in front of you is going to go berserk or crazy or flip out or whatever he's going to do, or the guy behind you. You never know what's going to happen.
But you just hope that since he's proven to be a rainmaker, he's been able to sue the bastards and get money out of them. He's valuable in that way. He can show other people, just like you. You could write, that other people they can't.
No, they can't.
And so I'll tell you
another thing. Some of the most intelligent people I've ever met in my life were in jailhouse. Now, I met the same people after they got out, and they were back on the streets.
Yeah.
Junkies. So it was a way of keeping these people who had a brain, and who are revolutionaries and who are changers like I am, or at least like to think I am, or not changers, but maybe, what's the word, an advocate?
Yeah.
And when they got back out, as I said, they were right back into the habit again within 24 hours, I guarantee it.
Yeah. So are you saying that inside, at least, they're clean?
Somewhat, yes.
And if if life isn't hell, like Dean there, he keeps getting it. I could go on forever about him, but if you're really good with locks, they decide he's the most dangerous man in Maine State Prison. This guy convicted for burglary with no assaults or anything in prison for the last 12 years,
And that's a really good thing, because with assault, you lose all your work time, all your good time.
Yeah.
Your original number, they might even tack a little more extra time on
you. Well, here's a real sad thing then that he wrote last week, that He had to take a test, and it turned out it looked like it said positive for opiates, and he thought, oh shit, I'm losing everything, but he didn't do it. It turns out it was one of the pain pills they gave him.
Okay, this is what we did with pain pills in the hospital. This is how this worked. But I had, as a matter of fact, I had some impacted wisdom teeth when I went in, and they gave me some Percocet. They came with me.
Right.
Okay. So the guys down in the hospital who were in charge of distributing with the pills took the Percocet and replaced it with placebo, right?
What a dump. Well, what a...
And what did they do with the placebos? I mean, I took the placebos. They sold the Percocet. When I got down into the hospital to work, I saw how that worked. Guess what? I took
what?
The Percocet and put placebos in the bottle.
So you were quick enough, slick enough to be able to do that.
Yeah. And I was a very fortunate individual. I got through it with no scars, no problems, nothing. I had first of all, I had my upstairs neighbor turned out to be a guard, so I was home free. Everybody else was eating bologna and cheese. My wife's sending in meatloaf. So it was pretty cool. I was very lucky, and she was sending in other things. Needless to say, my friend Richard was bringing to my cell. Or actually, to in the hospital, we had a real room. There were only two of us. I was sitting with a guy who was, you'll love this. He was the acid tester for Van Morrison. what he did, he would take a vial of LSD and keep sticking his finger in it and stick it in his mouth till it got off, and he would tell Van Morrison whether it was good enough, whether it was bad or whatever. And he was from the South. I'm from the South, as you can tell by a little bit of my accent. So we were about as popular as you can imagine as the plague.
Well, you know, but...
But I slid through. I got through good, unscathed, no problem. And I was totally rehabilitated when the captain gave me my quarter to leave, which means they give me a quarter. I had to go back downtown to the center of San Francisco, catch a bus to go to my home. He said, I'll see you again. He said, we'll see you later. I said, not here. I was so totally rehabilitated that we did a half a bottle of champagne, a line of toot from here to Rockport, a thumb-sized joint. We're ready to go home. We're still under the guard tower.
Oh, man.
So I learned my lesson, and I was dealing 4 days later.
Well, you know.
Got to do what you got to do.
People make their lives however they're going to make them there.
Exactly.
You know?
But it's tough.
Yeah.
It's not like what you read.
Well, that's...
And what I'm saying with this is I want people to hear that it's not what you read. It's an ongoing 18-hour-a-day process of watching your back or watching your friend's back and getting through any way you can. I understand Amnesty International. I understand all these good people who are trying to do things with convicts. I don't understand what Baldacci is doing. I cannot figure this for my life because he wants to consolidate prison, which cuts down on rehabilitation services. So if a guy wants to get out and go straight, he's got two steps behind already. You know what I'm saying? He has had no rehabilitation. He's had no exposure to getting back into the real world to become, quote-unquote, a productive member of society. Now, I fortunately have had two traffic tickets since I was there, so I don't fall into the repeat offender contract.
Right, right.
And I have no intention of doing that.
All right, now stand by a second. We've got to do our station ID and all that here. You're listening to WRFR's Weekend News Roundtable. I'm your host, Ron Huber. We have a caller talking about his own experiences and insights from his own time spent within the corrections process. It's like you get your finger stuck in a gear and it just pulls you right in. Eventually, you get spit back out. And so in a moment here, we're going to take a break. But right now, though, let me ask you then, finally, you talk about this really serious stress that inmates are going through. You know, do you find that the guards are also doing that? That is, there some guards that are decent, some that are hard cases?
I knew hard cases, and I knew guards who were so decent. I like to smoke a pipe, and I had to talk to a guard for about 3 weeks before he'd bring me in one of his old pipes with a broken stem so I could smoke half and half smoking tobacco as opposed to smoking the crap that they gave us. Because I was, you know, and I like to read, and you were lucky, you know, we passed around a copy of Tom Sawyer because it's the best thing, you know.
Hey, I hear you.
No, but yeah, it's an ongoing thing. You wake up, they let you out, and you start looking around immediately. Your head is on a 360-degree turret because you are watching everything all the time. And if you can imagine doing that for 10 months. In 28 days, that will mess you up. And if you can imagine doing that for more than that, like 10, 5, 5 to 10, so forth on up to life, you don't care anymore.
Huh. Well, look,
you have to join some sort of organization because of strength in numbers.
Right, right. Well, so let me ask you this. I don't know if you're able to do this or not, but next week, if you could possibly call in again, just sort of if you thought of like somebody that's new to prison, say, you know, so you're going to prison. Here are the things you need to know. Like you said, the watching your back is pivotal to it, but there's a lot of other things. And I wonder if you could give us some details, kind of a how-to type thing.
No problem.
All right. Well, look, call about the same time, same place.
We'll be here.
No, I'll do that.
Yeah, it'd be fun. I enjoyed it. Thank you for your input. And while I'm on the phone, thank all the people who are trying to help guys that are there, because some of them don't really belong there.
There, we get it. And they all belong...
I mean, you're making criminals out of people who are smoking a joint, for Christ's sake.
Wild.
You're exposing your children to a world that is absolutely unbelievable. And not only that, you're making criminals out of them.
Well, there you go. All right, carry on.
I'll give you a call next week.
All righty.
Got it.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, my man.
Well, there we go, folks. Somebody who knows about this from the inside out. And that is what it's all about, I have to say here. So... I wanted to let you know, though, that You're listening to the Weekend News Roundtable. We're going to take a bit of a music break, then we'll be back. If I can find letters, where did I put those darn letters? They're probably out in my petrochemical transportation device there. We'll find out. But you just stand by for this.
And she slammed the door in his front of face. And now he stands outside, and all the neighbors start to gossip and drool. He cries, "Oh, girl, you must be mad. What happened to the sweet love you and me had?" Against the door he leans and starts a scene, and his tears fall and burn his garden green. And so Cathal's made of sand fall in the sea. Eventually, a little Indian brave who, before he was 10, played war games in the woods with Indian friends. And he built a dream that when he grew up, he would be a fearless warrior Indian. Many moons passed, and more the dream grew stronger. Till tomorrow, he would sing his first war song inside his first battle. But something went wrong. Surprise attack killed him in his sleep that night. And so castles made of sand melts into the sea. Eventually. There was a young girl who slept with a frown, cause she was crippled for life, and she couldn't speak a sound, and she wished and prayed she could stop living, so she decided to die. She drew a wheelchair to the edge of the shore, and to her legs she smiled, "You won't hurt me no more." But then a sight she never seen made her jump and say, "Look, a golden winged ship is passing my way." And it really didn't have to stop. It just kept on going. And so careful, made of sand, slips into the sea.
St. James, Jimi Hendrix, Kessel's Made of Sand. A fine, fine song there. You know, about sometimes the, you know, you call it the hopelessness of it all, something. The what you do, the great accomplishments that you have, that one day either erosion will grind them down to dust, or rust will rust them into iron oxide and finally powder and finally get rinsed down. You're going to concentrate to the sea and consumed by phytoplankton? Or you're just plotting something, you're going out into the wilderness because it'll clear your head. You don't need to have all these civilized things bothering you. You get eaten by a bear. Castles made of sand. They look great while they're standing. Well, you're standing or sitting somewhere in the Rockland area, unless you're listening to us on the internet, in which case this might even be the time when the guys in the space shuttle are listening in. Although I think they check in a little later when Paul comes on with this amazing show. Beam Me Up. And be sure to stick around for that. Find out what's going on in the rest of the universe, not just this miserable little bag of dirt we call Earth. Well, I thought that music was so great. I'm about to try to get some more. I did want to give you a shout about the music. Not just the music. The weather. And I don't know if I'll be able to do that. Will we be able to do that? Yes? Okay, sure. And by the way, thanks again, caller. Just what we needed in terms of a call. Someone who has been there, done that, understands the stresses and tensions in place from being corrected on. quick look at the coastal waters forecast for those of you that are lucky enough to be out in the water right now. The rest of today, west winds 5 to 10 knots, seas 1 to 2 feet this morning, and now it's declined down. Winds will be out of the north tonight and sliding around to becoming out of the east, 10 to 20 knots, gusting up to 25 after midnight. We're going to go ahead and take another music break here. A lot to ponder. I had a very interesting show today, and I'd like to think about things that are brought to my attention by callers. And remember, you too can be a WRFR call-in temporary personality, being on the air by calling us at 593-0013. Stand by. Well, you're listening to the Weekend News Roundtable. As I said, I was looking through the Earth First Journal, and so there's a whole page here, Prisoners in the Struggle. The following list, a small sample of the total number of political prisoners worldwide, though they have them updated by the types of crimes. Are you looking for an arsonist to write to, or how about a guinea pig rescuer? Okay, if you're into people that love guinea pigs so much that they conspired against a supplier of guinea pigs, 12 years, dude. Don't mess with the guinea pigs. 12 years in prison. And this is in England. That's John Abelwhite. His prisoner number is TB4885. And HMP Loudham Grange. L-O-W-D-H-A-M Grange. Loudham, Nottingham. And the zip code there is N as in Nancy, G as in God, 1-4, then 7, Dog Apple, D-A, N-G-1-4-7-D-A, finally U-K. 12 years, John is doing. Here it is, conspiracy to blackmail a supplier of guinea pigs for vivisection. How do you blackmail a guinea pig vivisector? Well, let's go to someone who's a little more, anti-genetics. Eric McDavid, FCI Victorville, medium 2, P.O. Box 5300, Adelanto, California, 92301. And his prisoner number is 16209-097. Again, that's 16209-097. Eric McDavid, serving 19.5 years for conspiracy to destroy the U.S. Forest Service's Institute of Forest Genetics, a cell phone tower, and, in the plural, power plants. Well, if you want more details, go to www.supporteric.org. I know. What is it with these people? Isn't there some environmental crime that one could, like, be proud of? Martin Luther King wasn't ashamed of his civil rights things. What is this? Okay, here we go. Rod Coronado. No, that's worse. Serving 1 year for disturbing info related to assembling explosives and weapons of mass destruction. Woo! Rod. Now, Rod Coronado was actually known for sinking illegal whaling ships while they were tied up and nobody was on board. He, like, you know, they were like these pirate ships that go out and respond to no government, just go out and kill many whales, any size or type, and melt them on down, you know. So he was part of this group to track them down. He figured out how to go down inside these ships when no one's home. Little things with seawater intake valves. Ooh. You know, and flooding them. And so anyway, he did that for a while, and I don't know how he got into this nutty stuff. Weapons of mass destruction. Well, anyway, so, but Rod, maybe it's all framed up charges, and he's just, you know, he was fighting weapons of mass destruction or something. But if you want to contact Rod, who has a lot of good stories about saving whales, anyway, it's Rod Coronado, Coronado, number 03895-000. FCI El Reno, E-L, separate word, Reno, like Nevada, R-E-N-O, P.O. Box 1500, El Reno, Oklahoma, 73036, USA. He's only serving a year, so get your letters in quick, because otherwise I'll have to forward him to some whales. Good for him. Anyway, there's lots of things going on there. There's Leonard Peltier, of course, who's in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, serving life in prison after being framed up for the deaths of two FBI agents. I remember reading that. You get a lot of detail about him. It's www.freepeltier, that's freepeltier.org, freepeltier.org. Well, folks, we're going to end with a instrumental. This is one that allows you to stand up for your country, if you'd like to. Or if you're from England, you can just go, hey! There's that old English drinking song again.